Thing number three, the third thing Samuel Adams would want you to know if he could travel through time, and the third thing that Samuel Adams will show you when you read the five most important works in the history of Western civilization. Thing number three is three huge mistakes America's founders made and why you must avoid them. Now, we speak highly of America's founding fathers. We say we need to get back to the founding principles and things like this, but we don't worship the founding fathers. They made some mistakes. In fact, they made three huge mistakes which are presently destroying America. Let's talk about those three big mistakes in three words that start with R. The first one is rights. The founders made a mistake by talking about human rights. That's right. I mean, that's correct. Constitutional rights, it's an illusion. It's dangerous. It's toxic. It's a poison. It's a cancer. I'll tell you why. First of all, consider the right to life. We don't have a right to life. Nobody goes up to the Creator and says, "Hey, you, I have a right to life. Create me. Give me life." Doesn't happen. Life is a gift. We have abused that gift, and the Bible, as a result, says that we all deserve death. So there's no such thing as a right to life. How about the right to property? The Bible says God owns everything. God simply allows us to be a steward and commands us to use our stewardship wisely and profitably, but we don't have a right to anything. We don't have a right to property. We're lucky that we have what we have. All property is a gift. Now, the rights mentality is mutating, and it already has mutated. It has mutated into the concept of entitlements. And as a result, Americans believe they have a right to a job, they have a right to a college degree, they have a right to health care, they have a right to everything they want. And politicians, to try to get their votes, have responded by saying, "Oh yes, you have a right to all these things. In fact, you're entitled to all these things, and we're going to give them to you if you vote for us." So the government is trillions of dollars in debt. I mean, not just a few trillion, but hundreds, literally hundreds of trillions of dollars in promises which politicians have made to people who think they're entitled to whatever they want. And those unfunded liabilities are going to bring the entire nation down. Now, we'll talk about this in some detail in the program, but let's look at some testimony that the Social Security Commission in the Senate, United States Senate, had a few years ago when they were questioning the Social Security Commissioner. Now, one of the politicians there, one of the senators, said, "There's no way I'm going to cut benefits for Social Security recipients because they won't vote for me if I do," even though they were getting testimony that the Social Security system was going to go bankrupt unless there were reforms made, because it was a bad system to begin with. The politician, the senator, said, "What we're going to do, Congress, what Congress is going to do is we're going to use the power spoken of in the Constitution to coin money. And that means, for us, print money," even though that's not what the founders intended. And the senator said, "We're just going to print all the money we need to pay off all the benefits." And the senator said this, "It may not be worth anything when they get them, but they'll get their benefits paid." And the Social Security Commissioner said, and I quote, "I tend to agree." Now, what's the situation when the elderly, Social Security recipients, are not able to buy anything with their Social Security benefits? They won't be able to buy anything with their Social Security benefits because the dollar won't buy anything. And if the elderly's dollars won't buy anything, neither will yours. And in fact, what we're talking about here is complete breakdown of the dollar, the complete breakdown of the economy. We're talking economic crisis of magnitude that we haven't seen, even more than the Great Depression. And yet the senators are saying, that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to destroy everything so that we can say we kept our promise to pay them X number of benefits. Now, the Social Security system is not as bad as the Medicare system, and the Medicare system is not as bad as all the other unfunded liabilities which politicians have promised to people who claim that they are entitled, that they have a right to whatever they want. These unfunded liabilities cannot be paid. There's going to be default. There's going to be crisis. They're going to print the money they need to say that they made their promises, and it's going to destroy the dollar and send us into economic meltdown. These people are sociopaths, but we like sociopaths because they say things that tickle our ears, including you are entitled to whatever you want, and we're going to get it for you, even if they have to destroy the entire economy. So the whole concept of rights has been a disaster because it's turned, it's morphed, it's mutated into entitlements. The real answer is duty. Again, we go back to thing number two, religion and morality. You have a right to life only if everybody else knows that God says thou shalt not kill. You have a right to property only if everyone else in your society believes that God says thou shalt not steal. And America's founding fathers said this. They said, Our system of government, our freedoms, and our rights depend on religion and morality. What we need to emphasize is our duties to God and not our rights. Now, the first thing here, the rights, created the second problem, the second huge mistake America's founders made, and that was revolution, violent revolution. The founders said, hey, the government is violating our rights, so we have the right to kill them. They were taking too much in taxes, so we have the right to get our muskets and our cannons out and kill them. And the Bible clearly says that violent revolution is not an option for the Christian. We don't have the right to get out our guns and start killing off IRS agents. Violent revolution is clearly against God's commands in the Bible. Romans 13 and other passages clearly assert this. The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, if a foreign government invades your country and says that they can conscript you and force you to carry a soldier's provisions for up to 1 mile, Jesus didn't say, kill them. Jesus said, go a second mile in this act of slavery, this act of enslavement by a foreign power. That's how far the Bible speaks against the idea of violent revolution. Now, Sam Adams participated in the Boston Tea Party, and at the time, Ben Franklin and John Adams and others said, no, that's not a bad idea. I mean, that's not a good idea. They said that's not a good idea because morally, looking at it in terms of religion and morality, the Boston Tea Party was an unchristian act of vandalism. And that was a minor skirmish. The entire revolution created thousands of British widows. Over what? Over a tax rate of 3 pence per pound of tea? The offenses of the British government are nothing compared to the offenses of the Bush-Obama regime. And America's the Bible would say we're not justified in taking up arms against the Bush-Obama regime, so America's founders were certainly not justified in taking up arms against a comparatively libertarian and Christian government. Violent revolution is unchristian. Well, after America's founders overthrew the British government, overthrew the government that they described as a tyranny, what did they do? They restored it. That is to say, under a different name, under different labels, but basically they restored the government that they just abolished. The Declaration of Independence said they have a duty to abolish any government that becomes a tyranny. But once you abolish it, why restore it? Why bring it back? Why bring back government regulation? Why bring back this whole concept of representative government? We're going to find out in the Samuel Adams coaching program that representative government is an illusion and a danger. There's no reason why people can be trusted to elect representatives to do things that the people ought to be doing if the people can't be trusted to do those things. In other words, if you believe in democracy, and the word democracy comes from two Greek words, which means the people choose, or we might say the people govern themselves. If you believe that the people are too greedy to give to the poor, then why would you believe that the people are not too greedy to vote for politicians who will take money from those same greedy people and give it to the poor? If there's something that people, if there's something that society needs to accomplish, but the people, democracy, the people won't do it themselves, why would you give them the right to vote for people just like them, people who are greedy and short-sighted, to do those things that they themselves don't want to do? It doesn't make any sense unless you believe that governors are an elite, sanctified aristocracy, and only they can be trusted to govern. Only they can be trusted to make choices, but the people cannot. If you don't believe that the people can be trusted to make the decisions they need to give to the poor, to build roads, schools, and hospitals, and things that need to be done, just like people can be trusted to make shoes and computers and refrigerators and cars, then you believe in some form of aristocracy or hereditary monarchy. But America's founding fathers made a mistake by abolishing a government and then replacing it with another government, a government which turned out to be even more tyrannical than the government they abolished. So those are three big mistakes that America's founding fathers make, and we'll add on a bonus error, a bonus mistake But it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's not a mistake. It's a thing that America's founding fathers did not make the mistake of believing in the rapture. Today's Americans, today's Christians believe they don't need to work against tyranny. They don't need to help the poor. They don't need to solve problems in the world because the rapture is just around the corner. America's founding fathers did not believe in the rapture, and that's why they did a lot of things that were admirable, because they knew they had a duty to exercise dominion, to take care of responsibilities that societies need to take care of, and their example is one that we should follow.